Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And good morning once again, every Wednesday at noon. This is American Tennis, and you can tune in to the UR Tennis Network, as I mentioned, every Wednesday at noon and listen to our show. Every Monday on the UR Tennis Network is Lisa Stone with Parenting Aces, and one of the best and longest running programs that you could ever listen to is Lisa's shows on Monday. Also at 2 o'clock on Wednesday, Jason Haynes with the College Connection, and he interviews collegiate coaches. This is Chuck Creasy, and I'm proud to be starting our third year already on the American Tennis program. Our job here, our duty, our responsibility, our privilege is to stand up and to speak out about American tennis, the good things, the bad things, the in-between things. I wanted to mention a couple things before we get into our show today, but I always say this, but I think that in our country right now, there is a little bit of a death of outrage. When we see things that are going on that are just ridiculous, we just keep our mouths shut for fear of political correctness, and we don't stand up and we don't speak out. I always say, stand up, speak out, say the things that need to be said. Where are the guts, the heart, and the things that were made this country great? Last week on July 4th, they had a lot of wonderful shows about the United States of America. American Hero Station I was watching, and I watched about a four-hour special on the American Revolution. And folks, again, I had tears in my eyes and goosebumps all over my body from seeing what our forefathers did to give us this wonderful country where we have a responsibility, a duty, a right, a privilege to stand up and to speak out. All that we need to do is don't be personal, direct issues, not people. No man can find fault, but that's our duty. Otherwise, what happens is a lot of times the bad people run their mouths all the time and run other people down. We always say that small people talk about people, big people talk about issues. And we need to talk about the issues as much as we can and to try to carry on and once again be known as the greatest tennis nation in the world. We are still the greatest country in the world, but we need to use our rights and our privileges. Edmund Burke said that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men, good people, to do nothing. Call in today if you want to talk. Area code 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853. My website is chuckcreasy.net, chuckcreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E. You can get all of the former show, the blogs, the articles that I write. You can get connection to my books, the six books I have out. My camps in the summertime are total tennis training camps for my 38th summer, and we have camps coming up in Sumter, South Carolina, Lexington, South Carolina, and Lawrenceville, Georgia, Marietta, Georgia as well. So check these out, chuckcreasy.net. Proud to have you go there and listen to some of the shows and stay in and tuned in with American tennis. Listen, a few weeks ago I had a I don't want to say I might have to eat my words, but I'd be proud to eat my words right now. After the French Open, I watched Djokovic and Nadal, and I said, we don't have anything I see happening in USA that could tell me that we have this something coming up that would rival with these guys. They're warriors. The battle over 4 hours on the clay and just what it was all about how they competed and every ball was intense, how they honored the game, how they respected each other, honored the game, no weenie stuff, that the tennis weenie stuff that I call it sometimes. It was just about honoring the game, doing the right thing, and understanding that if you honor the game will honor you. And everybody would say the same thing about the fantastic Wimbledon finals that we had between Federer, you know, and Djokovic. And, you know, the thing is, this is a game of long suffering, and if you don't honor it, it will not honor you. It is definitely a sport that you have to invest in long periods of time. You have to give of yourself or you get nothing back in return from the sport. I wanted to take my hat off, though. Think about this. In the men's finals, we had four Americans. Now, three USA Americans, one Canadian. Jack Sock and his partner, I think it was Popasil from Canada, won the doubles beating the Bryans. So we had four three USA, one Canadian, and so all on the continent of America, but three USA players there. And congratulations to Jack Sock and Jay Berger. Hats off to you, the job you're doing with that young man, and bring him along. We need him to keep rising. And it's not what you eat, Jay. It's what you digest, and you need to make sure that young man stays hungry. You got to be hungrier than a starving dog looking at a meat truck. There's little time to celebrate, no time to cry in tennis. You have to do the next right thing over and over and over and again. And as my friend Robert Davis used to say, that some days you're drinking the wine, the other days you're picking the grapes in tennis. It's Park Avenue or Park Bench, but it really is a contrast, and it tears you inside out if you don't honor the game and respect the game. And the thing that I love beyond belief is the way Federer honors the game, how the way he just, the class and Nadal. And, you know, Djokovic looks like he is, maturing in that it's not all about him. And the guy is a great champion, but, you know, he's got that little cocky edge, and that's all good. But, I think that as you go through all those battles, those wars, and you understand it is not about you. I always tell kids, it's not the Bill show, it's not the Joe show, it's not the Shelley show, it's not the Mary show. It is the game of tennis. It is not set up for you. It is set up to puzzle you, to confound you, to confuse you, and to challenge the deepest core of your heart and your roots. Folks, in our boys' finals at Wimbledon. I'd like hats off to Noah Rubin, but more Lawrence Klager up there at McEnroe's place up there. I forget what they call their program up there. He's got two or three places, but Lawrence Klager, longstanding basketball player turned tennis coach turned into motivator, and he's got this guy Noah Rubin up there that won the boys' finals beating Stefan Kozlov. And Stefan was the runner-up to Francis Tiafoe now at the Orange Bowl earlier. And these USA guys are coming up. So, I might have to eat my words in saying that this gets you excited. It gets me excited to see the level of competition in Wimbledon there and how our youngsters are doing and how doubles went. And a couple things come to mind here. I have been arguing in the collegiate scene and in junior tennis that there's two rites of passage that allow a player to make big jumps. It is not just advancing in the tournament, but it's when you win a tough, tough, tough match, 7-5 in the third, 7-6 in the third, a 3.5-hour battle. It is like a rite of passage where the tennis gods say, yes, you may go forward, you good and faithful tennis servant. And I don't want to put the tennis gods up on any pedestal. There's no tennis gods, but the game of tennis is almost like there are tennis gods up there that pull at the strings. But unless you suffer, they will not allow you to go forward. So here's the deal. If you suffer long and suffer hard and don't bail out, eventually you do go forward. But every time you lose that 7-5 in the third, 7-6 in the third match, what happens is that it rips your living heart out and it makes you want to quit. And then you have to decide, do I want to go forward or do I want to quit? And Agassi's book, it was wonderful reading how many times he said he sold his rackets once, he almost quit. Before he made his breakthrough, he had quit for the last time. And you always go back and say, no, one more time. It's worth going back. Anything that you love, you're going to have a love-hate relationship with at times emotionally, but the unconditional love is there, the agape love with your family, the love and peace that passes understanding with your family is that way. You have the knockdown dragouts, but the love is there that you never give up on. With the sport of tennis, it will not allow you to go forward until you suffer. So what in the world are we doing with playing 10-point tiebreakers, abbreviated matches, and all this crud and that we allow our kids to come up and play this crud and not experience the rites of passage? The rites of passage are the long, tough matches that you win and you're allowed to go forward to after a lot of suffering. The suffering is part of the deal. It's part of the equation. Now, along with that, these 10-point, beside the 10-point tiebreakers not being worth a flip at allowing our kids to go forward, the abbreviated doubles matches do not as well. Jack Sock now has a doubles victory, mixed doubles, U.S. Open. He also has this doubles championship at Wimbledon. I guarantee you that he will be making a breakthrough within this next year. If he digests Jay Berger, make sure he digests what he... It's not what you eat. It's what you digest. It's what he does next. Honor the sport. Do the work. Be willing to suffer. And you get to go forward. I want to know, though, what the heck are we doing with all the talent that we have coming up through the juniors? This is not an unfamiliar story about our kids doing well. It is not an unfamiliar story that our kids, a lot of them go off to college and their careers get buried. It is an all-too-true story right now that we only have three USA-born players who played in college to make the top 100 right now. In the 1980s, we had 39. 1984, we had 39. What in the heck are we doing to self-sabotage and just bury our talent. The rites of passage have been removed, folks. The rites of passage. Right, this is a loaded language thing. We're going to talk a little bit about loaded language today. But this is a loaded language point. Everything must have a noble, a true, time-tested, and a very difficult rite of passage for confidence to occur. For confidence to take place, you must suffer and then accomplish something. You cannot just breeze through something, win it, and then think that you're that good. You have to suffer. Interesting, last night my kids go swimming. They're on a swim team. They're 10, 8, and 6, but the 10 and 8-year-old are on swimming. They're starting to do better, and I get excited. They win a ribbon here, a ribbon there, and it's really interesting. We walked up yesterday, told the coaches, my wife's so good. She said, absolutely no participation trophies at the end of the year. And one of the ladies looked and said, boy, I'm glad somebody else thinks the way we do, but we've got to buy these participation trophies. I told them ours will go in the trash can. By the way, my young son, who's 8, went to a baseball camp. I was so proud of him. Listen to this, folks. So he's at a baseball camp this summer. And at the end of the summer, he didn't win any awards. I loved it. They only gave awards out to the kids who won stuff. But there at the very last 5 minutes, they're walking around and giving every child a certificate of attendance and participation in the baseball camp. My 8-year-old son looks at the coach right in the eyes and said, no, thank you, coach. I do not want to take any participation trophies. I really, really appreciate it, but please, I do not want a participation trophy. That was worth anything and everything in the world to see him do that. And my son is I don't know if that's indoctrination. It probably is at 8. But the kids understand that you should not get rewarded for just doing average. Program today is that we want to figure out how we're self-sabotaging our kids. We've got these success going on. The doubles should be full matches, by the way. Jack Sock wins 3 out of 5 set in Wimbledon, wins a full match. No abbreviated scoring system, no Bullwinkle scoring, no 8-game pro sets where, hey, maybe I won, but it was because of the scoring system. Nobody at all deserved it except these guys that won. They deserve the win. The other stuff, the participation trophies and stuff, you want to kill your kids' confidence, give them participation trophies. You want to kill your kids' careers, let them play enough 10-point tiebreakers and think they're moving forward in something. You want to kill your kids' tennis off for sure? You know, just play enough of the abbreviated no-ad scoring, and they'll never learn to play the long matches, the drama. Listen, the drama, according to Dr. Ray Brown, always is more important than randomness when it comes to an exciting sporting event. It's the drama, folks. And we've talked about no ad scoring enough, but, so let's move on here. I've got to talk about being a tweener and not being a tweener. So what are we doing? Where's the epidemic of tweenerism coming from? The epidemic that is everywhere about being a tweener. Yeah, you could say it's socialism, yep. We're certainly pushing that forward. We feel so sorry for the people that aren't achieving. We give them trophies and try to make them feel good. One of the things that's critical, and listen, mark my words on this, critical about trying to get a youngster to achieve is that they must suffer to achieve something if it's noble and great. The point being is that participation does not breed excellence. But if you have excellence, it will always breed participation. We're going about it sort of backwards. And I think that's where our tweenerism comes from. But the two things I said here, I wanted to say, are that the successes must be very, very hard and difficult. But here's the deal also. The failures must hurt a lot. They must hurt a lot. A saying, a loaded language, is that until you hurt enough from losing, you will not learn how to win. Losing is extremely painful. Federer's heart was ripped out of his body the other day, and don't believe that it wasn't. And don't believe that he didn't hurt for 2 or 3 days. But with time and with the learning of the grace that it takes to be a champion and respect for the game, you realize that it wasn't the Roger show that day. The other guy won. And that's the most important thing to understand, is that the tennis, you have no control over anything except giving what you have in your heart. So we need to get this straight. If you don't want to be a tweener, and I'm going to talk about what a tweener is here in a second. Tweener is sort of like a wiener. It's in between a winner and a whiner. And we will explain all this here in a second. But the point is that if you don't want your youngster to be a tweener, understand that there must be great joy from winning, and it must be hard and a lot of suffering to win. But there also needs to be pain from losing. So I gave a talk last week at a youngster, boy and girl zonals. Okay, so I got to give a talk to a group of 12-year-olds, about 120 of them, plus their parents. So what do I talk about? Well, here's the story. I said a year ago when my youngsters were 9 and 7, my wife calls me out of the blue. Charlie, she said, the only person in the world ever called me Charlie. Charlie, she says, can you say something? You're a coach. Can you inspire the kids? They start swimming in 20 minutes here in their first race. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm on the road, and I'm sort of like, I can't change channels that fast, if you know what I mean, honey. I can't change the channels and come up with something. So she said, Charlie, please tell them something. They're nervous. So I, okay, guys, okay, both of you on the phone? Yes, Papa. All right. Here's what I know. There's four kinds of athletes, I told them. The worst kind of an athlete you could be of those four is the wimpy. Okay, now what the wimpy does is, oh, my arm hurts. I don't know if I can play today. I have a headache. I don't know if I can play. My racket broke. I don't have my favorite racket. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. And in college, I got to go to the training room. And the wimpies, I told them, in college, they used to have to wear a yellow shirt, and they either had to wear a yellow shirt and sit out, or they had to get better and be good enough to come to the court. And that's sort of a wimpy. They just sort of say, and I asked my kids, I said, is anything hurting? They said, no, Papa, we feel okay. So I said, okay, all right, you're not a wimpy. But if you had that sore finger, that sore leg, you would be a wimpy if you laid out. Little better than a wimpy, I said, is the whiner. Now, the whiner is the person that says, oh, we have to do this. It's so hard. I don't like this. It's so hot today. And they go out and they do it, but they just whine and complain the whole time. So I'm telling this story to a group of about 200 people in this gymnasium last week. And, you know, I think some people are starting to sort of identify, because we today with our children, we have sort of opened the floodgates to being wimpies and whiners. I mean, my golly, the amount of defaults and back draws because of mysterious injuries, it is amazing. It is disgusting. It is awful with the amount of wimpies and the whining. Oh my golly, the whining. Tennis is a sport, as we've said, that if you honor it, it will honor you. You know, and I've learned this saying the last year and a half or so, that it is more important what happens in you than what happens to you. But we, the whiners, are always worried about what's happening to them. And that's a little better than the wimpy. At least you got on the court. But then I told my youngsters in my 2.5-minute talks, I said, a little bit better than the wimpy and the whiner is the wiener. Wiener, Papa, I like hamburgers. No, that's not a hot dog. It's not a wiener. It's a wiener is an in-betweener. A wiener is something that's between the whiner and what would be the best. Oh, the winner. It's between the whiner and the wiener. The winner is the wiener. The wiener, yeah, it's the in-betweener, tweener. And I read the definition of a tweener to the crowd. It's, believe it said, someone who has skills to be no place at all. Somebody that plays at two spots but's not very good at either one of them. Sort of an in-betweener. So, you know, I think we absolutely breed wieners. We definitely breed wimpies, whiners, and probably wieners. And I told my kids, I said, the best would be to be a what? Winner. All right. Here's the loaded language. Do your best. Forget the rest. Regular stuff's good enough. Give your heart. Give your heart every day. You know, and these things that we tell our youngsters. But basically, the message is don't be a wiener. Today's program, folks, I want to talk about how we get USA Tennis out of Tweenerville. Tweenerville. And, you know, and again, I'm hoping that I will have to eat every word that I've ever said negatively about USA Tennis very time soon. Again, 3 out of 4 of the finalists in the men's finals doubles at Wimbledon were USA players. And then both singles finalists in the boys, 3 out of 4 semifinalists, were boys under 18s. Girls, I think they had some Slovakian girl and somebody else from Russia or something. The names we can't pronounce. And it, you know, it is what it is. We've got a lot of good girls coming along. But somewhere along the line, our kids turn into tweeners. Why do they turn into tweeners? That's the subject of today's show. So please call in at area code 714-583-6853 and let's talk about why we're making so many wieners, tweeners, in-betweeners. Somebody that sort of hangs out, breathes air, occupies space, but doesn't get it done. And it's not about the talent. We're not talking about if you don't, someone doesn't have the God-given talent. We're talking about all of the talent that we come up and hits about 17 or 18 years old and then it goes south. What in the world happens to all our kids when they go to college? Anybody got any ideas out there? Call in, comment if you can about what in the world's going on. I got my own opinions after being in college for so long. But we've got to get rid of Tweenerville, Wienerville, the in-between areas. The biggest thing I want to go to here, and I want to give, I'm going to go to commercial in a second, and I've got a call or two here. Hang on, and we'll get you after the break. But there's two things about tennis, and I want to start a trend and a fad out there if we can. Number one, I was talking to a good friend of mine earlier today. I said, not many people in tennis lift others up. Most people in tennis feel that they can make their own light shine brighter by trying to put others out. Now, why is that? I want to hats off to Lawrence Clager. Daggone it, everybody in USA that's listening to this should send him a thank you note for bringing that young man along, that Noah Rubin along. Everybody should say, job well done, and pat him on the back. Why can't we do that? It does not make us less to pump up somebody's doing the job. I don't care if you like Jack Sock or not. You know, everybody's a critic, but daggone it, send Jay Berger a note. Send Jack Sock a note. Send Jose Higueras a note and say, job well done. Now, we're hoping those guys can make the transitions. We want to talk about dumping some of the daggone cripplers in the tweener makers that we are doing with our kids. The abbreviated scoring has to go. It has to go. You know, I've written up a handout of 12 different scoring formats that you could use in order of what is the worst. You know what number 12 is? For the best for now, and listen up, folks. Two things. Okay, the best competitive formats need two things. Okay, they need number one to mark the best player. They need to mark who is the better player. And if somebody rises up and beats that player, the one player needs to know that the other guy is better, the other woman is better. And they need to know that when they win, this is a rite of passage for me. Okay, so it needs to mark the best challenge for the best player, the best chance for the best player. That is why our format is so fantastic, the regular tennis format. We would dumb it down every time we use other formats, scoring formats. But here's the deal. The second thing is it should be the best possible scoring system for developmental growth for our youngsters. This is where we are burying our talent. We're burying our talent because we use this crud. Let me read them out to you. I'll go backwards. Start with number 11. 11 is 8-game pro set, no ad scorings. The worst, number 10, 8-game pro set, regular scorings. We use this for junior doubles. We use it for college doubles. It's number 10 as far as those two criteria. Remember, folks, two criteria, what develops players the best, what gives the best player the best opportunity to win. Two out of three, number 9, 2 out of 3 sets. The first two sets are no ad scoring, 10-point tiebreaker for the third. We use that for junior ITF doubles. Unbelievable that they're 8 better. Number 8, 2 out of 3 sets, no ad scoring. We're trying to use that in college. So we're using number 11, number 10, number 9, and number 8. No wonder we are burying our talent. No wonder we are self-sabotaging. No wonder we're dumbing down our talent. Number 7, 2 out of 3 sets. Listen now. Set 1 and 2 are full set tiebreaker for the third set. Oh, my God. This is what the women used in college this year for their experimental format. So, folks, 11, 10, 9, 8, and 7 have been used. Let's talk about what is not being used, and you can call in and tell me if you don't believe that these are better than those for player development and the best player having the best chance to win. Number 6, 2 out of 3 sets. Start all sets at 2-2. This may be good for young age groups, multiple matches in one day, but not for older kids. Now, why is that better? That's better than the 10-point tiebreaker, for sure. That's better than a 8-game pro set. That is better than no ad scoring, and if you got to do it, I don't like that one either. But that's number 5, and they're trying that. Number 4, 2 out of 3 sets. Set 1 and 2 are started at 2-2. Third set is a full set. This format always gets done under 3 hours. But you have momentum switches in it. You can have a score. At least you have a full set for the third set. Folks, you understand that one? Full set for the third set is critical. That's number 4. Number 3. 2 out of 3 sets. Excuse me, I skipped 5. Okay, 5. I skipped 5. That was 4 I gave you just a second. 5, listen up. If you want to play, you got to play a 10-point tiebreaker. Listen, set 1 should be the tiebreaker set. Set 2, a full set. Set 3, a full set. Set 1 is the tiebreaker set. Now, think about this in length. This allows the better player to win the match with a set and a tiebreaker. Right now, the funky system that is used, a tiebreaker for the third set, allows the underdog to manipulate and do different things to win the match with a set and a tiebreaker. However, if you are the better player and you win the first set and the first tiebreaker, you're not going to lose the match. You might go 3, but you're not going to lose the match. You'll play a full set for the third. If you lose that first set as the better player, you're not going to lose the match. The second and the third set, if you do lose the match, well, then it's much more fair to have have it in that order than to have a 10-point tiebreak for the third set. That's number five. Number four is to set one and two start at 2-2. Third set is a full set. Always gets done in 2 hours. Number three, as we're going down the list, two out of three sets, set one and two are full sets. Start number three at 2-2. This maintains the integrity of the sport. It maintains momentum. It maintains all the momentum principles and does not bastardize as the others do. Okay, number two, of course, two out of three full sets with regulation scoring is what we should never veer away from. And the best, drum roll here, please, the best scoring system for true results, if you want the best player to win and the best improvement, three out of five full sets, regulation scoring, and you will find out, you will find your players develop, and the best player will advance. With that, I got to go to commercial. We'll be right back with your phone calls. This is Coach Chuck Creasy with American Tennis.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
We're trying to make them in America. Good start this weekend, and it's a repeating story. We hope not that this great talent that we have coming through the ranks will not be minimized, tweenerized, wienerized, and left out to dry by too many smart people in back rooms abbreviating our scoring systems and other things. But there's two things I had mentioned earlier. One is that we don't lift other people up enough. All of you got to get on the horn and call people and let them know when they do well. The key to power is empowering people under you. The way that you rise in life is by standing on the side of the road and cheering as the winners go by and give them credit where credit is due. It's a tough one, especially if you don't like the people. The second thing, remember, is that our kids need to know when they do bad, and our kids need to know when they do good and really good. But the point is we pat them on the back, too many participation trophies. And remember, if you reward mediocrity, mediocrity is what you will get. So I've got to tell the quick story. I'm going to take a caller. I talked about the wimpy, the whiner, the wiener, and the winner. Well, I got to tell you where that came from. I was about, 10 years or so ago, listening to Spring Sports Banquet, and there was this wonderful young lady came up and talked about her experience on the track team there where I was coaching. And she said, you know, we had a long, tough weekend, and we came back, and our coach said, we're going to have a day off on Monday. Just show up. We'll do some stretching and some starts, and that's it. She said, we got there Monday, and the coach had changed his mind. The great Bob Pollock you know, he was at Clemson for many years, and just he's passed away now. But what one of the greatest coaches I've seen in track and field, 21 ACC titles, you know, two, three Olympic champions, just a great coach. But the coach had said that, you know, we're going to have an easy day. But, coach, we get there, and he says, 16 400s today. She said right away there were four categories of people that sort of found their own place. The first were the group that just sort of, hey, I'm injured, I got to go to the training room. They say you go to the training room, you wear a yellow shirt, and you have to hang out and nurse that injury. You nurse that mysterious or that actual injury, but only the person knows whether or not it's a hurt, a pain, made-up injury or a real injury. Only the real person knows. Then he said there was a group of young ladies that did the workout, but they whined and complained the whole time. She said, I was in the third group. The third group was the group that said, let's get it over with. I hate this, but let's just go get it over with. And they were compliant, but they weren't committed or inspired. Their hearts were not there. She said there was a group of four or five young ladies that this is my chance to train. Too tough for other people, just right for me. And she said, and then she read out, this person is doing this now, this person is doing this now, and they all ended up being great at what they wanted to do. But I think it's a real important message is, you know, don't be a tweener. Don't be a tweener at all. And I'm wondering if I could get Coach J.P. Weber on the line here. I think this is your call here. Coach Weber, you on the line?
Hello. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. Sounds like you're riding down the road there, maybe. Yeah, I can hear you.
I am. I'm
riding
down the road. Now, so we need to write. I like that. We need to make sure that we get everybody. Now, on the broadcast, you mentioned the name of the coach, Coach Rubin, but Patrick
right.
was saying that John
Lawrence
was Clegger. Rubin's coach. John McEnroe is his coach. We got to write John.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, no. It's Lawrence Clegger, okay? Sorry, John, call me if you want to. John, are you taking credit for that? McEnroe, are you taking credit for that? You don't need it. Folks, don't write McEnroe crap. Sorry. You know, come on. What's that? Yeah, it's his academy, Lawrence Clegger is the guy, okay?
I have one other.
Hey, you know what? You know what? That's what we got to do, though.
I like the fact that you pointed out it was Lawrence. Look, on NBC or ESPN, they were saying it was McEnroe. I like the fact. See, you know my show, We Coach Tennis. I'm looking for the guys that are behind the scenes really doing the work. McEnroe is going to get credit. It's at his academy. But you now brought to light somebody I'd love to get on my show, and I'd love to know about.
Well, call Lawrence Clegger. Now, here's the thing, JP. McEnroe should have said, no, Lawrence Clegger gets credit. Maybe he did, okay? Maybe he did. But Lawrence Clegger needs to say, look, here's who gets the credit. John Smith, who's the high school coach that sort of got Noah doing the right things. By the way, his mom and dad deserve a lot of credit. And you know what? What makes great coaches is great players. Noah gets the credit. So that, you know, people,
John was just talking about getting back from the practice. You know, he was working on getting back to the booth. But that was a great thing. It's a great comment you made overall to give people credit. And, you know, that goes to the court, you know. Well, I remember you used to talk about this on the court. A lot of times a guy would get a winner against you, and the guy, you know, one of your guys or something, he'd be so – I can't believe I missed that. And you would say, give the guy credit. He just hit an unbelievable shot. You ran him off the court into the other court, and he threaded the needle down the line, and you're mad. Why are you mad? Give him credit.
Well,
you got to give
other
people
credit.
We're
all there. Hey, JP, and thanks a lot for your show. You had Coach Gildemeister on yesterday. What a great show. And, folks, go to the We Coach Tennis Facebook site, the website, and tennisdynamics.net is tennisdynamics.net, and you get some fantastic information on tennis. And thank you for your show, by the way, JP. But listen, here is there are several paradoxes of life. And, you know, and I used to know these five by heart that, like, it's only in the darkest night that the brightest stars, right? You know, things like this. But there are paradoxes that people have to understand. But one of them is if you give other people credit, it will come back to you. You must get the key to power is empowering people who are under you. It is power is implied. It should never be exhibited. You raise people up and you will be raised. And these are parodies of life, Coach Weber. But we really and truly need to embrace this.
Not parodies. Not you said parodies. You mean paradoxes of life.
Paradoxes. Okay, paradoxes.
Yeah, you said parody.
Correct.
Let me ask
Thank
you. So you're using the loaded language. Can we say wimp anymore today? No, is it okay?
Yeah.
You know, that was we can't say
Why
that.
Why not?
Because, you know, I know I'm giving you a little bit of a hard time. I got to tell you, that story you told my son, he remembers that. You told it to him in a restaurant several years back. It's very effective. He still remembers it. I think the simple and stark examples that some of your loaded language that you use, it's very easy. I mean, good enough? What is the one, you know, on the menu?
Regular stuff is good enough.
Regular stuff is good enough, yeah. I mean, and I'm driving down the road. I had a hard time with that on the court. That has come back to me many times. I might be coaching a kid. He's in a tough match. You know, he's not in the third set tiebreaker, but he's in a third set because that would be the tough match. And he's playing. And I remember that. That'll pop in my head, and it'll help. If, you know, he's trying too hard. Maybe he's doing this, he's doing that. But little things like that are excellent. You've got hundreds of them.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit today about the loaded language and the power. I'm so glad that you brought that up. But I wanted
that,
to make
or we could talk about short format. I tell you, I watched Wimbledon this weekend, and I got to ask you the question. Would it have been the same 2 out of 3 sets? I mean, I know that, you know, it would make it easier. The men say that they're doing
–
Yeah, but here's the good thing about it. The men could then say they're getting equal work and equal pay. See, Bouchard got the same amount as Federer.
Oh, then.
But she only had to do 2 sets. So I was
I just watched Bobby – listen, okay, the other night
you don't
on TV,
do that
they, had a, they had the life and times of Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones, the greatest golfer in history, right? Robert T. Jones, Augusta National. He played as an amateur and won the Grand Slam, and they made a big point to put in there that amateurs love the game. They played for the love of the game. The pros played for money. Well, everybody's playing for money now. But the point is that equal pay baloney? Do you try any less because you're making less than maybe the Georgia Tech football coach? Do you try any less because maybe somebody down the road is making more money? See, this class envy thing is really a rotten to the core cancer that if you start worrying about what you're making, what others are making, and you know, basically you basically lose the whole essence, and that's part of the problem I think that we have with our sport.
But we're turning up resources on that, though. And no offense to that, I don't believe that, and I'm one that I'll probably get in trouble for this. I just don't buy the equal prize money for the women.
No,
I don't think they draw as many people. I think that they draw, the less they wear, the more they draw.
Everybody knows underneath when people are overpaid or they get things they don't deserve. And eventually it comes back. You have
to... Well, it's going to hurt our athletics at college. It's going to hurt our...
Yeah,
team,
I know.
Right?
I know.
There's only limited resources. So when you say it
And we
matter.
Have... That's a whole different topic, but we have... A lot of times we have the wrong people, and there's nothing more pathetic than small people in big positions. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular here, but if we have too many people that are... thinking that I deserve this or I deserve that and everything has to be... Listen, equity is quite different than equality. That's all you have to do. Look them up. They're different words. But everybody should fight for equity, not equality. You know, and that makes a heck of a difference there. But, Coach Weber, I want
to... My question to you about the 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5, I don't think it would have been as great. I just don't see it as being the same. I look forward to the 3 out of 5 set matches, and I love your formats. You know, you have that list of formats that you read out. We play 2 all first set, 2 all second set, 4 third sets very often, unless there's other extenuating circumstances, at our myriad of Grand Prix. And one quick, real quick story. My son, he was about 6 years old, we're playing that. He's locked in a pretty good battle with the kid. He lost the first set, and they're in the second set. 5 all, and we allow coaching, so I'm sitting on the side, and he says, you know, Dad, they just brought the Chick-fil-A sandwiches in, and I'm really hungry. If I win this set, I don't get to go eat. If I win the set, I got to play a full third set, and I'm really hungry.
Oh, man.
I had to straighten him out there a little bit. But hey, if they get used to not playing a third set, they're not going to play it. I do think that we're spending where we are losing is, like you said, shortening the developmental process. I think when we've shortened everything up, when we've shortened, you know, you can put a tournament together right now in about an hour or two, and I'm talking schedule it, everything, and notify them. In the old days, 20 years ago before the internet, 30 years ago before the internet or whatever, we would have to write out postcards. We would send them out. It was a major process. You had committees. Now a tournament can be held, run, and scheduled, and everything by one person. And they could do it an hour, hour and a half.
That's not all bad. What?
No, but what they want to do is then they want to make, okay, well, now let's finish the tournament today. Let's make it one set matches, and you know, we're trying to entertain, and you know.
All right, loaded language here. All right, remember, participation does not breed excellence, but excellence will always breed participation. So therefore, no dumb downs. Just use the word dumb down, dumb down, dumb down, dumb down. No dumb down, folks. If you're upset about this stuff that our tournament people are doing, please say, don't dumb down my kid. Don't dumb them down in school. Don't dumb down in music. Don't dumb them down in tennis. Don't dumb them down. Don't take participation trophies. Don't dumb down
it's
my kid.
A lot of the things that you talk about on your show are great. The problem is that they're now institutionalized so deep into the USTA. It's not just talking to that tournament director. You got to call up. You got to, for the southern section, we got Bill Ozaki. He's got 15 colleagues around the country in his spot. You need to find the people in the sections there and start talking to them. Then you need to talk to.
We need a groundswell.
Look.
Nobody's going
to
do it from top down. Excuse me, coach, but nobody's going to do it from top down. You've got to do this from bottom up. Just like the stuff out in Arizona that's going on right now, it's crazy what's going on out there, Arizona and California. It's going to get real serious here before it gets better, unfortunately. It looks terrible. But there's a groundswell happening that anything will get done, it's going to get done because of the groundswell. When people are outraged and stand up, when parents just say, don't dumb down my kid. You know, and don't trust that these people who have never been on the court, who are administrators, understand tennis. It's just not that way. So
can I ask you another question on the? It's a mess. They're writing about it all over. They've made the selections from, and you're on the committee. I'm curious, the junior competition committee, and they've made all these selections. And I know I don't want to take you off topic, but. It's still a mess. Are you able to accomplish anything in terms of convincing, you know, when you say talk to people and try to get them to change? I mean, you're on the committee, and that those selections for nationals and this and that, I thought it was supposed to be pretty clear cut and dry. You know, we got away from the head-to-head system, and now they've got these wild cards. Right now, I don't know if people have looked at it, but the lady that does the zoo tennis and things of that nature, and then your colleague on your network there, Lisa Stone, with her thing, it's so convoluted, Coach. Why is it so confusing? Do you understand it?
Well, I think, look, computers allow everybody to know something, a little bit about a lot, and everybody's an expert now. Everybody can
is
Google something and find.
Is it more complicated than we?
It's way too
complicated.
Is it complicated.
More complicated
I've
than
often
we realize?
Said, Coach, I've also often said that we don't need all these systems. We need incentives. Look, we're overregulated. We're overregulated, understimulated. I guess that would be the word. Overregulated, understimulated. And our kids, when they're overregulated and understimulated, they're going to be tweeners. And that's the point. You have to be underregulated, do the right thing, play the tennis because you love the sport. And stimulation needs to be two things. You had Tim Wilkerson. Folks, go back and listen to a We Coach Tennis program, I think about a month ago when Tim Wilkerson was on. He said, I played tennis for two reasons, the rivalries and the titles. He said, if I lost to somebody, I waited a whole year sometimes to try to get even. And that's competition. That's the nature of competition. You know, and what we really, really need to do, folks, is just cry out from the ground troops and say, look, don't dumb down my kid. Your kid, look, we only have 23,000 now kids playing five tournaments more a year. That is ridiculously low. But again, we're overregulated, understimulated. The kids need
that?
Go, Coach.
When you say to contact people, now give me for instance, I know you are on that committee, and Steve Bellamy
okay,
is on that
listen
committee.
Up.
Beyond
listen
that,
up.
I don't
it's
know
the bureaucracy.
Anybody.
Listen up. I'll explain to you. Pardon me for breaking in, but I only got 2 minutes here. It's a bureaucracy. We have like 24 people on that committee. It is like machinery in progress. I feel like, do you ever see Trey Gowdy? Folks, go look at Trey Gowdy on YouTube. The guy is unbelievable how good he is in Congress. All those congressmen get sent to Washington. They try to get something done. The bureaucracy is just bogs everything down. But there is a movement that comes from somewhere. I don't know whether it's top down or where, but basically it's for participation over performance. That is as simple as I could say it, Coach. And when you have participation over performance needs, there's this thing that if we do enough at it, if we throw enough against the wall, something's going to stick. And when you have participation over performance, then that will not breed excellence. Excellence will breed participation, but participation will not breed excellence. So to answer your question, yeah, I'm frustrated as all get out. I feel like throwing the towel in and saying, you know, forget this stuff. I'm going to help my kid with baseball. But no, I am going to stay in the fight because that's
yeah,
if we bail out of the
committee.
Fight.
Don't you
Excuse
and Bellamy
me?
Leave that committee. I hope you and Bellamy don't ever leave that committee. Y'all need
well,
to try and get more people.
Listen,
there's 20-something people who,
we only got about four coaches out of 24, four, mainly tournament directors and people who sit behind a computer. And they're good people, kind people. They serve. But they shouldn't be making decisions on what makes a young tennis player better, and they shouldn't be making decisions on what stimulates them to be better and absolutely how the best player goes forward. Those are the two criteria. If you just – everybody remember that. Those two criteria. What allows the rites of passage for a player to go forward when they're young? Secondly, what is the most fair – not the most fair – but the best form of advancing the best player. If your skill set's better, you advance. If not, don't let some hocus pocus and some coach told me, Coach Weber, parity comes from these abbreviated scorings. What? Parity should come from skill sets, not because of some hokey pokey show of a scoring system. You know, so but Coach, listen, I
appreciate
you coming. I don't know. All good, and I'm sorry we got to go. Listen, Coach J.P. Weber on We Coach Tennis. I got to go, though.
Made in America, born in a hot land, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He's got the red, white, blue, flying high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy reminding you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And, folks, next week we're going to have a whole show on loaded language and the power of loaded language. Loaded language helps you drink the right water out of the fire hose, and it helps you to know what you're trying to look for. That's a big problem today. There's so much information. How do you find the right information? Listen next week. Loaded language. Thanks. We'll see you all next week. This is Chuck Creasy.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.